You know, I thought about this. You know, some of you, like, you're all geared up for lunch. And I tell you, I'm really looking forward to Mary Lou's rolls. As far as I'm concerned, Mary Lou's rolls are top notch in my book. They're up here, let me tell you. So I'm looking forward to that. But I wanted to share with you, you know, sometimes we want to get in a hurry and go. Lunch is not going to be ready till around noon anyway, so you might as well just patiently wait for the preacher to preach today, right? All right. You know, in a lot of churches, they take November as stewardship month. A lot of churches, they take November as stewardship month where, you know, they emphasize in particular our stewardship to the Lord. You know, a steward is someone who really manages the resources of someone else, right? And that's really all we're doing in this world. But we've actually gone a little bit longer than a month because I've been in a series talking about a biblical perspective on money and giving. And this is actually part 8 of that message. Now, we've been talking about money. I don't believe I've ever been in an extended series on money or giving, either one, near this long, but that's the way I felt God wanted us to go and wanted us to talk about for a while. We've been talking about money. Now we're kind of turning the corner a little bit toward giving. And, you know, I've heard people, when they talk about stewardship, they say something like, you know what, we need to make sure that we're good stewards of our time, our talent, our treasure, and our testimony. Have you ever heard that? We need to be good stewards. We need to give freely to God of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, and of our testimony. Now, are you faithful to God in those areas? You know, some people might say, you know what, I'm faithful to God. I'm faithful to God in my time. Absolutely. I'm faithful to God in my talent. I'm faithful to God in my testimony. 3 out of 4 is not too bad, is it? But you know what? You know what my goal for you is to be faithful in all 4 areas. Your time, your talent, your testimony, and your treasure. As we look at God's Word, you know, this is an amazing book. Y'all figured that out yet? That the Bible is such an amazing book. And we're going to look at what God has to say about our giving. Now, can I tell you quite freely, I'll look you right in the eye, I wouldn't care one iota about what the preacher thinks about it, or I wouldn't care one iota about what someone else in the church may think about it, and I sure don't care what somebody on television might think about it, but I'm really concerned about what God thinks about it. I'm really concerned about what God thinks about our giving. Not only with our time and our talent and our testimony, but I'm concerned about what does God expect to me to give to Him of my treasure? What does He expect me to give to the Lord's work? And we're going to be answering some questions. We're not going to finish today, but we're going to be answering some questions that people might have about giving. And giving, where should it go, and things like that. How much should it be? We're going to be looking at questions, but we're going to be looking at it from God's perspective. Now, for some of us that have been Christians for years and years and years, I've been a Christian, I figured it up, I've been a Christian for over 50 years now. And for those, some of us, I know, have been longer than that, a Christian. You may have heard this before. You may not exactly be able to put your finger on it, so hopefully it'll be a good review for you, and you're like, oh, yeah, I need to be reminded about that. But some, you got to keep in mind, not everyone's had the benefit of the good teaching that some of us have had for years and years and years in the churches that we've been in. So for them, it might be like, wow, I didn't know that. Like, wow. So listen closely to the message, and I'm sure, I'm positive, that God has for us today from His Word. A biblical perspective on money and giving, and we're turning the corner to talk about giving today. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Just give me a little kind of nod. Now, I fully realize that this is holiday meal. I know that. We're not even in the holiday yet. But it's a good reminder. You say, why do churches do stewardship and talk about giving a lot of times in the month of November? I very rarely in my ministry actually have. But why do churches quite often do that? Because we are reminded around Thanksgiving of how blessed we are. And then we're reminded as we head into December how blessed we are that we had the wonderful gift of Jesus. So giving and what we give to the Lord's work is very relevant. All of us need to be reminded. And I want every single one of you, seriously, and I pray this. I hope that every single one of you under the sound of my voice hears someday as you stand before Jesus, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So part of my responsibility is to show you from God's word what does God expect from us. Y'all with me on that? If you agree that, say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Okay, that was not too hearty. Let's say a hearty amen.
Amen.
That's a little bit better. All right. As we look at God's word today, point number one, a biblical perspective on money and giving. We're looking at giving in particular. Point number one, how much should we give to the Lord? How much should we give to the Lord? You know, the word tithe and tithes, plural, and tithing is used a total of 40 times in the Bible. 40 times. I don't know about you, but that tells me that it's a pretty relevant topic, that we need to look at it. Now, tithe, that word tithe, T-I-T-H-E, I understand you may not understand me because I'm from southern West Virginia and I talk a little bit funny. But tithe simply means a tenth, one tenth. It simply means a tenth. Now, the tithe is mentioned before the law was put into place. Now, that's important. Now, think about that for a moment. Do you realize that the tithe or the tenth was put in place before the law that the Old Testament Jews and all the way through Christ followed, before that was put into place, the tithe is mentioned in the Bible. The tithe is mentioned. And we're going to look at that today. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20. Now you say, what's going on in this? Well, Melchizedek, you probably heard that name, Melchizedek, he's called the King of Salem. He's also called the priest of the Most High God. Some would say this is a theophany or an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, in these verses we're going to look at, you see, Abraham has gone and rescued Lot from a bunch of kings that have kidnapped him and taken a bunch of goods and things from certain cities. And then Abram goes and rescues him. And listen to what happens. Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand.'" And then it says, "And he gave him tithes of all." Now, if you figure out what's going on here, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. So that's before the Old Testament law. Look at Genesis 28, verse 22. Now, this is after Jacob, one of the patriarchs, had a dream at Bethel. Remember the dream at Bethel. And he tells God, and he says this, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. Of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the," what? "Tenth unto thee." Now, there's at least two references right there before the law. Now, I'm not giving all the references to the tithe or we would be here forever, but there's two before the law. You say, "Preacher, why do you keep emphasizing before the law?" Because some people will say, no. You don't need to give anything to God. You don't need to give that tenth. You don't need to, because it was under the law. I'm simply saying, no, it was actually instituted and was observed before the Old Testament law was put into place. But it continued through the Old Testament law. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. Again, just a few selected verses. This is during the time of the Old Testament law. Notice what it says in Leviticus 27:30. It says, and all the tithe, there it is, of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, what is it? Is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Again, under the Old Testament law, it says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose you out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And lastly, under this point, the tithe was continued through the law. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22. It says, thou shalt truly, there it is, tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. So we're talking about how much should we give to the Lord. If we look before the law, the tithe is mentioned, and it basically is saying giving it to the Lord. And then in the law, it's continued. And you know, the tithe was continued, actually was amplified in the New Testament. The tithe was amplified in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic? Now, I know that this is not like, wow, you know, type of topic for today, but it's what God wants us to hear. And we need to be reminded of these things. If you agree with that, just give me a little nod. Don't get too excited, but we need to remind it. You may have said for years, I know we're supposed to give a tithe. That's what my grandpa said. That's what my grandma said. That's what my great-grandpa, you know. But where does it come from? Where do we get that in Scripture? And that's what I'm laying the foundation for right now. In the New Testament, do you realize that the tithe was actually amplified? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at verses 1 to 3. Now, they're talking about an offering for the poor folks around Jerusalem, the poor saints around Jerusalem. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, this local New Testament church. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so the church of Galatia, the churches that are there, and also for you, Corinthian church, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, isn't that something? We meet on the first day of the week, don't we? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Notice what it says, as God hath prospered him. That there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. You know, in this passage here, it's talking about you're going to give it in the church at Corinth, and we're going to distribute it. So it starts in the church, and it says, as God has prospered you. Now, do you realize that the Old Testament law, that under the New Testament, it amplified those Old Testament laws, and really more is expected of us than even them? Do you realize that? For instance, you know, under the Old Testament law, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? In the New Testament, it says, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. See, the standard is even higher in the New Testament. Y'all agree with that? God expects more, even under the age of grace. Now, we know we're not saved by doing those works, but God expects more. So, the question, how much should we give to the Lord? The tithe is mentioned before the law. It was continued through the law, and the tithe was even amplified in the New Testament. So a good biblical place to start giving to the Lord, I believe, is the tithe, 10%. That's a good place to start because, again, it was before the law, continued through the law, and God even expects more of us as New Testament. So 10%. Plus, if you would. Now, what about some points to ponder about how much should we give to the Lord? First of all, I hope you realize that everything really belongs to God in the first place. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. With that mindset, if we come to the conclusion, you know what, everything that I have, God gave me. And it really belongs to God. And when I close my eyes and breathe my life, it's not going to be mine anyway. So God gave it to me. It all belongs to God. When we have that mindset that everything really that I have belongs to God, it's a whole lot easier to say, you know what, God, I'm going to give you at least 10% back. Does that make sense to you? I mean, you really think about it. God's generous in letting us keep our 90% or so, and us giving a tenth of it back to Him. So that's one point to ponder under this main point, how much should we give to the Lord? The second thing, for New Testament Christians, again, 10% is a good place to start. I'm going to emphasize that word, start. Number three, God will bless you for giving to Him 10% plus. God will bless you for that. Do you believe God will bless you for giving and doing what He says to do? You know, one reason we have a lot of Christians that are so ho-hum is because we got Christians and aren't doing what God wants them to do. You know, last night I was talking to Ryan on the phone, and one of his friends there on campus who's a great pianist, he came in, and you know, Ryan and Jason sometimes put us on the spot and said, well, say hi to so-and-so. So I was like, hey, and Ryan really put me on the spot. He said, give him some words of wisdom right now, or something like that. And I'm like, because dad and mom's on the phone, and we're talking to Ryan. And I said, well, just keep on doing what you know to do is right. And really, that's pretty good advice for all of us, right? And in this area of tithing, just keep on doing what you know to do is right, and God will bless you for that. That's one reason we have Christians sometimes that are so down in the dumps is because they're not doing it God's way. You do it God's way. You make Him a priority. God will bless your socks off. And last point, under point to ponder on this point, how much should we give? You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. I mean, where in our little brain do we need to figure out what we should give and shouldn't give? I mean, it's clear to me from Scripture, 10% plus. I found this illustration pretty illuminating. You may not have heard of this fellow. I've kind of alluded to it in a general way before. But R.G. Letourneau is his name. He lived 1888 to 1969. He was a Christian industrialist who dedicated his life to, quote, being a businessman for God. This R.G. Letourneau was hugely successful designing and developing his own line of earth-moving equipment. Letourneau was the maker of nearly 300 inventions and had hundreds of patents in his lifetime. As he succeeded financially, he increased his giving to the point where he was giving 90% of his income to the Lord's work. Listen to this. Listen to this quote. He said, I shovel out the money and God shovels it back. But God has a bigger shovel than I do. Think about that. He said, I shovel out the money, God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel. You may be thinking I could give 90% too if I was a millionaire, but maybe so, but Letourneau didn't start out wealthy either. But he had a mindset that I'm going to give to God. A biblical perspective on money and giving. Number one, how much should we give to the Lord? Biblically, 10% plus. Number two, should we give to the Lord? Now, this is a very practical question, okay? But I believe there's a very practical biblical answer. Because I've heard people ask this question. Should we give to the Lord the 10% plus before or after taxes? That's a fair question, don't you think? Fair question? Well, the answer is definitely before taxes. Or put another way, our 10% plus giving to the Lord should be on our gross wages before taxes are taken out. Now you say, where do you get that at, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Now, I want to make it clear that you know, sometimes when you preach on money, people think you have an ulterior motive. Like, what's your motive? You know, what are you getting at? What are you trying to nail home? Really, the point is, I want you to do what God wants you to do. I don't have any idea in this church, and Connie can vouch for it, and Robin can vouch for it when she was treasurer. I don't go through the records and say, well, this one's tithing and this one's not tithing. You know, I have no clue. I mean, honestly, as far as I know, I have no clue who is giving and who is not. So I don't want you to think, well, there's some ulterior motive the preacher has there. You know, he's trying and he knows that this one's not. So he's no, I want you to do what God wants you to do. In order for you to do what God wants you to do, it's important that we know what God wants us to do. Make sense? So that's why we're talking about it. So a very practical question. Should we give before taxes, our 10% plus, or after taxes? Well, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, these little proverbs of wisdom. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the what? First fruits. You see it up there? Is it up there? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It says, honor the Lord what? With your first fruits. Now, if you wait until taxes and deductions and all that comes out of your paycheck, are you really giving God the first fruits? I don't think so. I think you're giving him the leftover fruits, right? I lost somebody on that one. I lost about half of you. Don't you think that God deserves the first fruits? Now, we're told in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And if we wait till everybody gets their share and then takes my 10% of what's left, God's not getting his proper share. Seriously. Now, there's another story in Scripture, and this is in the New Testament, Matthew 22. Jesus was responding to the Pharisees and the Herodians. And they were asking a question. And you find this in Matthew 22, verse 17. And for the sake of time, I just put to two verses and didn't read the whole story. But notice they asked Jesus this question. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Like tribute or taxes. Is that lawful? Is that a good thing? Of course, they're trying to trip Jesus up. Now, Jesus called for a penny, remember? And he says, he looked at that penny and he said in verse 21, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, when I read that, I'm like, okay, render to Caesar, but render to God. If taxes are taken off of my total income before anything else, don't you think God ought to be even before that? Because God's got his share. The government has their share. You see, you can't get out of taxes, can you? Well, you can try for a while. But you know what? We ought to willingly say, you know what? I'm going to give God the first fruits. I'm going to show that he's a priority in my life. You know, on our coins and bills in America, we have an image of someone famous. And that's usually a former president. Will you agree? On one side, and these four words are also on that side. You know what it is? In God we trust. We have to pay our taxes, but do we trust God enough to give the Lord 10% plus? A biblical perspective on money and giving. How much should we give to the Lord? I think biblically 10% plus. Secondly, should we give to the Lord the 10% before or after taxes? Before taxes. Number three, and we're only looking at four today. I'm trying to talk fast, and that's hard for me to do. Number three, where should we give our tithe? Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic still. I'd hate to have you get up and do calisthenics and jumping jacks. Y'all want to do jumping jacks? No? Okay. Ken said no. We'd have to wrap Ken in bubble wrap. If we're going to do, I'm just joking, Ken. Where should we give our tithe, our 10% plus? Now, I think Scripture is very clear about this. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Notice what it says. I'm not going to comment on a lot of it, but I am going to comment on a little bit of it, okay? Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them to the children of Israel. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he answers the question, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and ye shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you catch that? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 37. Remember, as Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall to Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, notice what it says in Nehemiah 10:37, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests, notice, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. In chapter 12 and verse 44 of Nehemiah, it says, and at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruit, and for the tithes, to gather unto them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites, for Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And then back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Remember the offering for the poor? Who was to collect the offering for the poor? Where was it to be collected? Remember? Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. You see, I really think that God expects God's people to give their tithe to the storehouse. Now that was the temple in the Old Testament. That is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16 as the place that you take up the offering. I think God expects us, and a lot of people have that question, where should I give my money? Okay, I kind of get the tithe plus idea, but where do I give it? I believe that a person as a child of God needs to give their tithe to the local church. Again, I realize that, you know, so preacher, of course that's easy for you to say because you're the pastor of the local church. No, I really believe that God's word makes it clear that we are to tithe to the local church, to the storehouse of God. You know, I sometimes think, what if every Christian around our country would tithe? Can you imagine what Christianity could do? Do you imagine? Can you imagine what billboards we could put up and what commercials we could run and what presence we could have on the internet if every Christian gave at least 10% of their income to the local church? You know, I think a lot of times we just kind of muddle through. You know, we just kind of make it. We kind of just pay our bills, and we just kind of move on a little bit. But you know what? I think if every Christian got in, and believe me, we are going to give an account. I believe this is one of those areas that we're going to look God straight in the eye, Christ in particular, at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to answer. You know, did you give your tithes to the local church? And I believe we're going to have to answer. And believe me, at that point, there are no more excuses. There's no excuses that we can give. I really think God's expectation You know, there's people might say, well, can I give to other good organizations like Samaritan's Purse as we're doing shoe boxes today? I think it's fine to give to those organizations as long as our local church is the priority. As long as the local church is getting at least the 10% plus of your tithe, I think it's okay to support other good Christian ministries. Now, how many of you have ever shot at a target? Let me try to give you an illustration that may help a little bit. You know, maybe you shoot a bow and arrow and you have a, you know, with a bullseye right in the middle, and you got, you know, rings that go outside that. It would seem to me, if this helps clarify it a little bit in your brain, you know, if I shoot, I'm shooting for the bullseye, but I might hit it somewhere, and that's not too bad. You know, if you give money to other organizations, you are hitting the target. It's a good thing. I say good Christian, solid, believe like we do organizations. That's what we need to give to. Y'all with me on that? Now, I've said this quite often. I'll just go off on a little tangent for a moment. The world has a whole bunch of money to support the charities of the world that are not sharing the gospel. But there's only so much Christian money to go around to go to Christian organizations that also share the gospel. Y'all with me on that? Because we can give someone a blanket. That's a good thing. But you give them a blanket, the blanket's going to wear out. I want to give them a blanket and the gospel. So I want to support a ministry that does both and shares the gospel. So above and beyond our 10% plus, it's fine to help these good Christian organizations. But you know what? It's kind of like shooting at that target, and you're hitting the target. That's a good thing. But you know what? When you give in your 10% plus to the local church, you're hitting the bullseye. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. You say, preacher, you mean I'm supposed to give 10% plus of my income? Well, things are awful tight. Don't you think all of us realize how tight it is in our country right now? Hello, y'all still out there? Anybody still out there? Things are tight. Things are expensive. But don't you think that's where the trust actually comes in? As I've told people many times, and I know a preacher down in, about mid-state, down around the Flatwoods, Gassaway, down that area, about in the center of the state of West Virginia. I remember he put on a workshop one time about pastoring the church and things he did at his church. And he told people, he said, if you want to start tithing, I will sign an agreement and guarantee that your 90% will go further than your 100%. And he would actually give them a document if they wanted him to. He'd sign it, give it to them. You see, God can be trusted. And if God says, give me your 10%, don't you think he can be trusted to take care and to make up the shortfall? A biblical perspective on money and giving. Number one, how much should we give to the Lord? 10% plus. Number two, should we give to the Lord before or after taxes? The Bible says first fruits, so I believe it's before taxes. Number three, where should we give our tithe, our 10% plus? I think it ought to go biblically to the local church, to the storehouse, so God can use it through this local church. And number four, how can we be out of balance with our giving to the Lord? How can we be out of balance with our giving to the Lord? In the book of Haggai, the temple was in very, very bad shape at this point. The temple needed lots of repairs. Okay, you say, how can we be out of balance possibly in our lives? Well, in Haggai chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, remember the prophet, he says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? You say, how can we be out of balance? How can we be out of proportion the way we ought to be? Haggai, as he writes this, as a prophet of God, God is asking the question and saying, you know, do you think it's right? And that word sealed, C-I-E-L-E-D, means paneled. So he's talking to the people. Now the temple's in shambles, okay? Needs to be repaired. Everybody still with me here? Okay. And Haggai, under the direction of God, is saying, you know what? You guys are living in your fancy houses. You're living in your paneled houses. But God's house is in disrepair. You say, how can we get out of balance? We're out of balance whenever God's house and God's work is suffering while we're sitting here over here on Easy Street and everything is good over here. Does that make sense? And I can't answer that question for you. But I'm saying, if you're living over here and everything is good and everything at the church is 50 years old, guess what? We might just be a little bit out of balance. I bet very few of people living in their home right now live in homes that have 50-year-old stuff in it. Some do, absolutely. Some do. But a lot of people, you know, every year we got to do this and every year we got to paint, we got to do. And I'm just saying, we can be out of balance sometimes if we are living here and our homes are nice and everything is good and I got plenty. If God's work and God's house is suffering. Do you all agree with me? Just give me a little nod on that. You don't have to say amen, but just give me a little nod. We can be out of balance. I'm not saying you are. I'm not pointing to say you are. I'm just saying, biblically, that's a case where we can be out of balance. Now, I'm almost done. Just going to ask you a few questions and I'm done. We can go have some of Mary Lou's rolls. A biblical perspective on money and giving. We looked at 4 points. Point number one, how much should we give to the Lord? Biblically, the tithe plus, 10% plus. The question I have for you, and I have no idea. Are you giving at least 10% of your income to the Lord? Are you giving at least 10% of your income to the Lord? If not, you need to correct that problem. Number two, we looked at, should we give to the Lord before or after taxes? Well, I believe the Bible's pretty clear about it, that God's supposed to get first place. We're supposed to give him the first fruit even before taxes. So the question is, are you giving at least 10% of your income to the Lord before taxes? Number three, where should we give our tithe? Our tithe plus, 10% plus, where should we give it? To the storehouse or to the local church? Are you giving your at least 10% of your income to the local church? And question number four, how can we be out of balance with our giving to the Lord when the local church and God's house is neglected? Question number four, are you out of balance with your giving to the Lord compared to what you have? And question number five, kind of relates back to the original thought as we started the message. Are you giving God your time? Are you giving God your talent? Are you giving God your testimony? And are you giving God your treasure? Are you giving God your treasure? Or you'd say, I'm giving him my time, my talent, my testimony, but that treasure thing, that's kind of tough. I've always heard it said this way, that the last part of most people to get saved is their pocketbook or their wallet, I guess you might say. Or would you say, you know, I'm giving God my time, my talent, my testimony, but not my treasure. 3 out of 4, that's not bad, is it? Well, it could be worse, but is that what you want to get by with, just good enough? I would encourage you. Look at your life. Look at how you give and where you give and how much you give. And figure out what God would want you to do. Figure out what God would want you to do. Now again, don't figure out what the preacher wants you to do. Don't figure out what the church may expect you to do. But what's most important, what does God want you to do? And what God tells you to do will not contradict what his word says. So think about it. ponder that today. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or to indicate in any way, but let me just ask you, is God speaking to your heart in this area of giving, your treasure, in this area of giving, that 10% plus? Is he convicting your heart? Is he talking to your heart right now about your level of giving? You know, if you're here today and you say, well, I tithe, praise the Lord. You might say, I tithe plus, praise the Lord. If you're not tithing, I really believe you're missing a huge blessing. We'll talk about that a little bit later in another sermon. But God will really bless you for giving to Him. I'd encourage you, if you're not tithing, I would start immediately tithing to the local church in obedience to God. And God will bless you. And some folks, you've heard me encourage this before. Some folks have been Christians for long, long, long time. You know, like this R.G. Letourneau, who eventually lived off of 10% and gave 90%. Do you think that perhaps, you could bump up what you're giving to the Lord a little bit? Do you think? You might want to ask God if that what He wants you to do. Again, it all belongs to God, and you can't outgive God. Just do what God wants you to do. If God is speaking to your heart, would you talk to Him right now in the silence of the moment from your heart and ask Him to help you to do what He wants you to do? If God is speaking to your heart. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I realize that, you know, there could be someone here today who's never, ever trusted Jesus as your Savior. Now, we don't talk about money a whole lot around here, so I hope nothing has turned you off about that. But your biggest need, if you're here without Jesus, is to trust Jesus as your Savior. You see, that's a decision that you make at a point in time to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I believe Jesus died upon the cross to pay for my sins. I believe that in my heart. I want Jesus to be my Savior. You know, today you can leave this place. You don't have to leave here with any doubt at all about whether you're going to heaven. Because if you trust Jesus as your Savior, according to the Word of God, you can leave here and say, I know I will go to heaven. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. If you're not sure you're saved, or you're sitting there saying, I know I'm not saved, would you come forward and I'll be somewhere down around front and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus died for you. And I am so thankful that salvation is free to us. It cost Jesus His life, but it's free to us. Would you accept Him today? Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this invitation to You now. We pray that You're speaking to our hearts, Lord. We want to be drawn closer to You. We want to know Your will. We want to do Your will. And Lord, I pray that Your people gathered together today will hear whatever You might be telling them in this area of giving, Lord, and they'll do whatever, be obedient to whatever You want them to do. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior or just not sure whether they have or not, Lord, I pray that they'll come forward today and, Lord, get my attention and say, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm saved, Lord. And we'll have the opportunity to lead them to Jesus or nail down their salvation. They can leave here saying, I know that if I die tomorrow, I'm going to heaven. I know if I die in the next five minutes, I'm going to heaven. Speak to hearts as we sing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.